We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into today's show. We have a really fun episode planned for you. Myself and Andrew Spade are here, and you should be listening to this on the podcast form later. You could be watching this live. We have decided to put on our GM ball caps. Hold on, let me fit myself with one now. I have my GM hat on. We actually decided to wear similarly matching sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. We are like the two stepbrothers in the office for the interview in matching tuxedos right now, ready to just dominate this interview, to be GMs and make 54 selections here. And, you know, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a little ambitious.
Can't wait to do it. And we're going to fly through some picks that I don't think matter and then slow down with the division teams and have some more deep dive conversations about those teams, because I think those are the ones that are going to quite obviously matter a couple times a year. So, listen, we're going to go through that in just a minute. We have to talk real quick about late news in the day, which is that the Browns, we'll start with this. They waived Drew Forbes' failed physical designation. And Andrew, this has been one of the funnier back and forths. I had to look this up. So Forbes is a prospect taken in the sixth round, pick 189. He was this kind of hidden named prospect X coming into the draft. Hidden, was it Southeast Missouri he came out of?
Right.
Right. So yeah. It was like,
is it Albert Breer that used to do this, or does he still do it?
I don't know if he still does, but he did. And I definitely remember maybe Forbes was the first one, but he might not have been the first one. I don't remember, but I do certainly think that the write-up and the way that that was framed gave us some optimism about this guy could be okay. Right. So he is around the roster in 2019. And then in 2020, the thing that disrupts his progress in a lot of guys around football is that he opted out of the COVID season. So he does not play in 2020. He's around the organization in 2021, and then I think he had a season-ending injury that year. I think it might have happened in the preseason, Andrew, if I recall. And then in 22, waived by the Browns, claimed by the Lions. The Lions then waive him on October 1st of 2022. He's back, reclaimed by the Browns, October 3rd of 2022, and then now has been waived by the Browns in 2024. It was a wild ride. I think it was the best of times, probably the worst of times, but Forbes, yeah, probably ends up in Tennessee. I wouldn't be surprised. It's been just a very strange. I can't believe he's stuck around this long. Andrew is very strange. I would not say that this cockroach situation is done. Like, there's a world where he comes back.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I just kind of expect it. It's, you know, for me, it's Drew Forbes and winter weather, right? Like, it's just, that's part of life. Like, you just get, you know, it's like, and actually when Drew Forbes is added to the roster, I think that's when you're supposed to have all your firewood split and stacked. Cause if you don't have it by then, the winter's about to change. And so you want to be ready for winter. So,
yep.
Yeah. When they sign him to the practice squad in October, that's when you know to get ready.
And we'll retweet our video here and make sure you guys know that we got that right. Listen, Tennessee's probably the only team that steals him and he stays there. That's about it, because he is somehow endeared himself to Bill Callahan. That's about the only answer I have on that one. We'll see. Never say never on this relationship. But as a part of this news dump today, we also have the Browns bringing back Sam Kamara. Do you have some exact figures on that, Andrew, by chance?
I don't have them in front of me, but I think they added a little bit of. I don't think we have the numbers on that. He was an exclusive rights free agent, so I think it's just whatever that contract is.
Okay, so yeah, we'll have to maybe clear that up a little later in the show, or maybe a little maybe tomorrow's show something. But they, you know, could have let him walk here.
Yeah,
he could have gone out to the market, but the Browns like him enough to keep him around or give him another shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of matters, right? Kind of matters. I mean, you like I said, this is money spent. I think he's going to get something out of this, like picking this up. They're I don't think they're able to just cut him without giving him some cash here, is my general point. So
yeah,
I think you're looking at like a couple $100,000 or something like that. It's nothing crazy here, but they are giving him a real chance and they're bringing him back. And if they do go out and draft another defensive end, it is a very crowded room.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. I don't know. I'm trying to see if I can figure out the terms of an exclusive rights free agent contract, but not seeing anything. I think it might just be the league minimum, but I don't want anybody to quote me on that. So I think he's definitely going to be around the team in a practice squad capacity. Feels like that's kind of where they like him as a depth piece. But they're it's another player that has been here a few years now that they seem to really like. I think they first latched on to him, what, 2 years ago, and he just keeps, you know, the thing with Forbes and Kamara, all these guys, is that they really like their players for depth roles. They don't often look outside the team. They tend to bring back the guys they know, and so this is another version of that.
Right, another version. Kamara, right, exclusive rights free agent. There's some others, like there's some talented guys. I mean, Josh Gordon was going through that exclusive rights free agent cycle for a while. I know Rashid Shaheed is doing that too. It's a way that, like, the UDFA guys, when they pop, some of these, they just don't really have like much bargaining power. Like, it's not
right.
It's not great for them. So that's the situation as we know it right now with Kamara. We'll see if there's anything that changes. We also got some new numbers released today, Andrew. Big deal, big news.
Mm-hmm.
We knew some of these, we didn't know some others. So we're going to go thumbs up, thumbs down on new numbers. I think that's a fun way to play this game. Just aesthetically, do you like them? Do you not like them?
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy number 3, I'm thumbs up. Like that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Browns continue to be on track to have all single digit receiver numbers. So they've got Cooper, they've got Moore, they've got Jeudy. Cedric Tillman needs to get in line.
That's right. Cedric Tillman, you heard it here first. Jameis Winston, number 5 for Florida State days. I like that.
Yeah, that I like a lot. I'm coming around to the idea that Jameis Winston's going to start a half dozen games for the Browns.
I'm not surprised to hear you say that, Andrew. Tyler Huntley, number 10. I like number 10. I was
That one to me is, I think, always going to be a little bit like when I was a kid, it was Eric Zier before the Browns went away.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that in my head. And then was Kelly Holcomb 10 as well?
Kelly Holcomb was 10. Yep.
So I feel like that one just feels older to me in terms of, I can't think of a recent quarterback that's had 10. Somebody will shout one out in the comments. But in my mind, those are older quarterback numbers, if that makes sense.
He replaces PJ Walker wearing number 10.
Right. Well, there you go. So last year. Cool.
Cool. Right. Nyheim Hines, number 22, takes over Grant Delpit's old number. I like 22 for running back.
Yeah, that's fun.
For me. Deontay Foreman takes number 27.
Mm.
I think he's been wearing that number for a while in his NFL career.
Yeah.
So thumbs up.
To me, 27 is a safety number.
Mm. Okay.
I think that might be Eric Turner, actually.
Like, maybe. If I told you to say, like, first player comes to your mind wearing number 27, any level.
Think it's Eric Turner.
For me, it's Eddie George. I don't know.
Oh, 27 sure.
27 is ingrained into my brain from Eddie That's George.
Yeah.
All right. Hakeem Adeniji wears 74. I like that number for a tackle lineman.
Yeah, that's clean. That's Chris Hubbard.
Right. Michael Woods is now moving to number 81. Here's what I will say. He's moving off of number 12, which number 12 is Rodney McLeod. Whenever you go into the 80s,
yeah,
Andrew, as a wide receiver in the 2024 range, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not great. I actually am going on the wrong way with this. They have these all set up in two photos, but the two photos next to each other. So anyway, we'll get through it. So Michael Woods, 81. I'm going thumbs down. It's not a good sign for you, young man.
Well, did he get paid, though? That's the question. Because if McLeod gave him some cash, then, you got to do business. You know what I mean? Like,
wouldn't McLeod? It's interesting though. Wouldn't McLeod have done it? Had to do it last year too. Who was wearing 12 last year? Am I losing my mind?
I think it was Woods.
Okay, so if Woods wasn't active all year because he had the injury, so he just decided this year.
Yeah, like, you can't. I'll pony up. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Is McLeod now? He's back for a second year and maybe felt a little bit more confident that he could make an offer.
Right. Okay. Maybe got a little bonus for signing back.
That's what I'm thinking. And if so, that's the only way it plays in my mind.
Giovanni Ricci, number 87. Classic. Seth DeValve, 87, the last one I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Seth DeValve. Let's check that live on the spot. Browns. He was number 87. That's a good callback right there.
Yeah. Solid.
Solid callback. All right. Now to the second photo. These guys really, really messed my mind up. We have Grant Delpit now, number 9.
Beautiful. Love it.
You love it?
So excited. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to struggle with it. I really liked him in 22, but it's fine. He'll work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Thumb in the middle on that one. McLeod, number 12. I like that. You know, it's fine for
that
you.
That one to me is confusing. Like I'm just going to think it's Colt McCoy back there playing safety. Similar athletes.
Yeah, same. Justin Hardy, wearing 28. Solid special teams number.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we have Devin Bush wearing number 30. Eww. It's an interesting choice. I don't think, what did he do? Wasn't he a single digit guy at Michigan, if I recall?
That sounds right.
I don't think there's any callback.
Was he 50 maybe at Pittsburgh?
He was number 10 at Michigan. He was in the 50s because of the restrictions with Pittsburgh. Right. What number did his dad wear back in the day? Do you have any idea? This is a real callback.
I didn't
Devin
know
Bush Sr. He played for the Browns.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played for the Browns. He wore 23 with the Rams. I know. I thought he had a hot minute with the Browns. I could be wrong on this, but I thought
was he a running back?
I thought he was a secondary guy.
Hmm.
So professional career. Yeah, he spent 2001 and 2002 with the Browns. And I can't find a single photo of him.
You know what? That my memory just jogged. Finally, that name finally rings a bell. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see anything photos-wise of his dad with the Browns.
Man, oh man, I completely forgot that he was a player. That's wild.
Yeah, it snuck up on you. 42 with the Falcons. He wore number 23 with the Browns, so no 30 history here. Probably not his first choice.
No, it feels a little bit like a guy settling, just trying to make the team.
It indeed is accurate. Tony Brown wears 38, another special teams number. Jordan Hicks wearing 58. So he's like committed to the bit. He comes into the NFL. They're all wearing 50s. He's not getting out of it. He's sticking to it.
And he's, you know, sort of a prototypical linebacker guy. So he's fitting the bill.
Isaiah Thomas. Sorry, I skipped one actually. Quentin Jefferson, number 72. On the surface, it's like, 72 for a defensive tackle. But again, that's another guy I think who came in, got that number, and he's committed. He's committed to the bit.
Yeah. Right? I think that's a fun one because it just looks like a guy that shouldn't matter. And then he's, you know, in the quarterback's lap. I like that.
Isaiah Thomas switches to 96. What was Isaiah Thomas before? Do you have any recollection of that?
I feel like maybe 98.
Isaiah Thomas, Brown. A lot of Isaiah Thomas is 58. Out there. 58. Yeah, okay. So 50, Hicks probably flipped him a couple bucks to get out of that one.
Yep.
And then Cade York comes back to his old squad. Wearing number 36. He was formerly number 3. So, you know, Cade, stand over there. See how that goes.
Yeah.
If Cade York can come back, Drew Forbes can come back whenever he wants. That's the thing, right?
I don't. 36 is an interesting one, too, because it just doesn't feel. But maybe was he a double-digit guy at LSU?
Good question. Something we can Google real fast. Cade York, LSU. He was number 36 at LSU. There we go.
There you go.
Those the single digit guys at LSU, very coveted. The old number 7. I think someone in the chat mentioned number 7. Mm-hmm. It's like every special player gets number 7 at LSU.
Right. So they started that a while ago.
They sure did. All right. So there you go. Number changes as guys were coming in, and then both some guys who wanted the new numbers around. So Grant Delp was probably the biggest
That's drop the biggest there. News. And this came out because the Browns are back in the building as of today, on a voluntary basis. But we saw Deshaun Watson walking in today, and apparently they're doing media tomorrow, including Watson. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, if anybody says anything interesting or kind of where things stand, if he gives any updates on the rehab.
There we go. Just pay attention to that tomorrow. We will break it all down. Now we're going to get into the fun stuff. We're going to do a draft like, I don't know, 53, 54 picks here. We're just flying through this thing. See if we're not doing this in a term like the way of like getting it right. We're doing what we kind of think these teams should do. Maybe a little bit of that sort of happens where we're like, yeah, I think they might go this direction. But some of it is just what we would like to see happen for those teams. And then look, the fine folks here at Pro Football Focus do give us the team needs there as well. I'm going to try to enlarge this just one more spot here. See if we can still everything fits and it's just a little cleaner for everybody, except for the prospect pool is not great.
Yeah,
We might have to go back down one. Yeah, sorry, we tried, but 175 on the zoom in just a little too much. Okay, here we go. Chicago Bears are on the clock. I'll pick first because it's the easiest one. Andrew, Caleb Williams will go Chicago. If this were a draft where contracts could be negotiated ahead of time, like we saw for years, it would already be in the works to be done. Maybe getting done this weekend, but we don't see it that way anymore.
All right, if I was the Washington GM, I'm taking Drake May here.
Okay, Drake May goes 2. I think that might be how it goes, and we just haven't heard anything about it. It's the hunch.
If so, they're doing a good job of that Jaden Daniels smoke.
That's for sure. I think they've been putting on a front with that. I will say, if I am New England, I understand the desire to have a quarterback, right? But I think they have so many holes. Like, I would consider trading back. We're not doing that in this because that would turn this into a mess. But like, I think this is a prime spot. I don't really think Washington is. I think that the Patriots is a prime spot to trade back. And if they trade back, you're probably looking more like Malik Nabers, but we're not going to do it that route. I think that they at this spot would be wise of sitting still to take Marvin Harrison and just give themselves a blue chip elite player. And then try to figure out, you have Jacoby Brissett for a year and try to figure it out when it's not rushed. So I would take Marvin Harrison right there.
Yeah, I agree with you that trade back is their best option, but not far, right? Just like five, six picks and then maybe go tackle. I like tackle for them, really.
They still need good players, man.
Yeah, kind of start on the interior. Well, if Harrison is gone, if Harrison's there, obviously the Cardinals want him, but I guess they'll take Nabers then.
Okay, so Cardinals, if we're sitting, so they would be another really,
For sure,
prime
trade down team.
Now it gets a little dicey because the Chargers, as you and I have mentioned, and looking at their depth chart, like they need wide receivers. It's like three guys now. They invested in Quentin Johnston last year, and Josh Palmer's had some moments in the league. But if this is the case, and the board falls the way it does, at pick 5. I have to take Rome Odunze. I think you just have to. Some people have him as the second ranked wide receiver. I think he's right there with Nabers. So we see an early in a world that I don't think is going to happen because these are probably trade down happenings to go to quarterbacks.
Right. There's going to be movement.
There's going to be movement, but those teams right there that we just listed are hunting the wide receivers.
Right.
Could be a different order that happens here.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think the main thing that this reflects is that you basically cannot do a mock of the top 10 without trades because the reality is that this top 10 is going to move based on who can move where and what trades get made. So we're way off base already, but I think this is about just trying to sit in a pick and make a selection. I think the Giants would take a quarterback here based on the way this falls. So I think they would probably take McCarthy over Daniels. So let's draft JJ McCarthy. You're gonna have to search for him.
I am a little bit. He's 29th on their board.
Yeah.
So McCarthy goes to the Giants. All right. So you have the Titans up with wide receiver, tackle, edge, and DB as the big needs. If I'm them, I'm trying to build trenches up front, right? Give your quarterback a chance. And I think Joe Alt would probably be a really good selection for them right here.
I agree. I think it's a match made in heaven, and they would be very fortunate to be able to sit still and then take Joe Alt. For the Falcons, I think it's got to be edge rusher, although this is another one where it feels like they're forcing it a little bit. But
I love that the Falcons, who are a team that is, in my opinion, not that good still, despite what people think, they have two needs.
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole identifying needs for the draft thing does not work for me anymore. No. I think just the way teams are building now, they're not drafting to find starters for the most part, right? There are obviously exceptions, but so I'll say Dallas Turner here to the Falcons.
Yeah, that seems to be where everybody's matching that up. They have Dallas Turner below Latu on the edge board. They have him at 16. So Falcons go that direction. The Bears need, I still think the Bears need offensive line help. They definitely could use wide receiver help. They already selected a quarterback, as we know. So this is tricky. It would be another spot where I could see them trading down and collecting some assets. But I could also see them drafting a defensive lineman. They have spent some time with Latu, so I'm going to go that direction for the Bears. Right? They have Sweat, who they traded for. Who are they going with after that? I'm not even sure what their next best edge is.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a bear cupboard after that. So Latu and Sweat is a fun combo.
Yeah, I feel like those two would be really good together. I could see them definitely being into Newton. I could see them being into Murphy. But we'll go Latu here just because he's, like I said, I think he's got the best skill set sitting there, right? So yep. Latu's the selection for the Bears. The Jets are up at 10.
So this is me as the general manager. I think the Jets will take a swing on like Brock Bowers or some additional weapon for Aaron Rodgers because they're fully committed to the letting the quarterback be the GM bit. But I think if I was running things, I'd take one of the tackles from out west. And I honestly don't know a ton about the tackles because it just feels totally irrelevant to like being a Browns fan to know the differences between them. But I have heard more people say nice things about Fuaga, so I'll take Fuaga.
Okay. Fuaga's the pick for the Jets. Boy, I think Brock Bowers is going to be really tempting.
No, I think that's what they will do, but yeah. I wouldn't do it.
Right. Next is the Vikings, a team that's hunting a quarterback. And I think if they were to fall into a universe where Jaden Daniels is sitting there,
yeah,
they would be really tickled about that. So,
which, by the way, let me self-promote a little bit. The last mock draft that I did on the OBR had that scenario play out. I wasn't controlling it. It just ran that way that Daniels fell to the Vikings at 11. If that were to happen in the real world where the Vikings could sit tight and pick a quarterback, would the Vikings be interested in trading down out of 23, which is actually the Browns' original spot that went to the Texans and then to the Vikings?
Yeah.
In the mock draft that I put together, Brian Thomas was still on the board. I gave up a future second to go get Brian Thomas, and I was thrilled with it.
Oh, that's actually a very fun thing to mess around with, because I think the good point that some people have made is that on the trade chart value spectrum, 11 and 23 do equal maybe like the fifth or sixth pick,
right?
Maybe even a little up.
Right.
But the negotiation for those picks is going to be so strenuous,
yes,
that they're going to have to pay more. And do they want to pay more?
Right.
I feel like 11 is a really interesting place to sit around and like look at pick 8 or 9. As a quarterback move up for instead of picks 3, 4, or 5. So
yeah,
we'll see.
In a way, the fact that they've got the two first round picks, I understand why they did it, because they just need the ammunition to make sure they come away with a quarterback. They simply have to. But it puts them in this weird position where everybody's going to be asking for more because they already have two first rounders. Like nobody's going to think 11 and 23 are enough for anything, which is very funny considering, like you said, value wise, they really are.
Yeah, the alignment there of that is like, it makes sense on paper, but I definitely think that's going to need to be something future attached to that to make it work.
Agreed.
All right, so the Broncos need a lot of things. Yep. This would be a team that should be looking to move if they can, but if they sit here, they definitely are in a tough spot at quarterback. They let go of Jerry Jeudy, so you're talking about like Marvin Mims and Cortland Sutton, and then who else? I think they bring back Tim Patrick. Tight end situation. Yeah, you know, I just, this could also be a spot where Peyton's in love with a quarterback.
Yeah. I think in reality, this is one where they force a quarterback pick. And if four are already gone, do they go like Bo Nix or some nonsense like that? I think if I'm the GM, I'm really tempted with the idea of, looks like we lost Jake. So it's just me now doing a show that is about nothing. So this is going to get real weird. And he's back, maybe.
I've never seen that happen from who booted me, and I had no answer for what happened.
I just vamped for 2 seconds very ineffectively.
Oh, man. Hey, guys. Let me share this draft board again. That was very strange. I tried to like shift the blame onto me. I'm like, I didn't do anything. Let me see. Present live television. It's just a giant photo of your face on the yeah, screen.
Right. Yeah. Fumble said Andrew on a 65 inch TV with a shocked look on my face too. Just like a, oh no.
All right. So I hope it still has. Okay. Everything's still in place. All right. So who are you picking for the Broncos?
Well, I was going to say, I really like the idea of taking a swing on another Alabama corner and like building maybe the best corner group in the league. So I'll take Terrion Arnold.
All right. Terrion Arnold is the selection. All right. The Raiders also need a bunch of things, you know, including defensive interiors are listed here. So they probably need some depth behind the giant investment they put.
Yep.
In
yeah.
That situation this offseason.
Newton with Wilkins would be crazy fun.
It really would. I just don't know.
I mean, PFF's too high on him, but, you know.
Yeah, they took Michael Mayer last year, so you're definitely not seeing a tight end go to this spot. They could use corner help. Yeah, man, I don't know. I almost need to – some of these teams, like looking at their depth chart would really be helpful because I don't know. I mean, again, the quarterback could be something they force here. Wide receiver is definitely, to me, I mean, it's like Jacoby Myers and Trey Tucker. They could use running back help. I mean, after like
Christian Wilkins, Pierce being talking the about head like coach, Adam, they're going to force a defensive pick here.
It's possible.
Because they could have a pretty good defense.
The corner stuff is dicey. They could definitely use some help at corner. So
yeah,
we'll make the selection of Nate Wiggins out of Clemson to play corner for them. So there we go. All right, Saints are up. Needing quite, again, three very important positions right off the bat there.
Yeah. This is another one where a forced pick at quarterback could happen. But I think they, you know, if I'm running the team, I'm going tackle to try and help some of the transition away from some of the expensive veterans that they have so they can actually move on from some of those guys. So give me the Fatanu from Washington here.
Okay. All right. So Fatanu goes, there's going to be a run on tackles.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So Colts are in the middle of this thing. Obviously have Pittman, obviously have Downs. They need corner help desperately. So mm-hmm. I think Quinyon Mitchell's a perfect pairing.
I think it's a great fit for them. Yeah.
And it works out perfectly for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Right, Seahawks, a bunch of upfront needs interior wise, mm-hmm. edge linebacker, safety for the Seahawks.
I think with Mike McDonald there, it's going to be a defensive player. It's just a question of which flavor he likes. I wonder if this is a sneaky Cooper DeJean spot in terms of just like the versatility piece.
Mm-hmm.
For fun, let's put Cooper here. I think the other option would be Jared Verse, but let's assume that Mike McDonald wants to do something real weird with his secondary and give another. He's already got Witherspoon, so if you had both of those guys that could play multiple spots, you'd be really versatile, which I think he wants.
I already know where this is heading, and I'm dreading it. 16 is – all right, so you said Cooper DeJean. All right, yeah. We're going to go – Jags are up. They need interior O-line help. They could use edge help. They could use defensive back help.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a spot where you could start to see teams talk themselves into some of the flaws that Jared Verse has.
I agree.
So keeping him down in Florida,
mm-hmm.
I'll go Jared Verse to the Jags. Yeah. Oh, they're a sneaky wide receiver team, man.
They are.
They really are.
Yep, because they screwed up the Calvin Ridley thing so badly.
All right, the Bengals and Brock Bowers is just sitting there.
It's obvious. Yeah, I don't think this happens in real life, but if he's there at 18, I don't think they even would blink before making the pick.
I don't either. They brought in Trent Brown, so you would just say, we'll take a year of figuring out Trent Brown, or even take a second-round tackle.
Yeah, take a swing on a tackle in the second round. Yep, but Bowers makes so much sense for what they are replacing, needing to replace with Tyler Boyd being gone.
Yeah.
Bowers, Higgins, and Chase this year would be really, really awesome.
When Mike Gesicki's there too to sort of be you another.
Love Mike Gesicki. My gosh.
He's a slot receiver, man. He's not really a tight end. No, I know, but
I just don't think he's, you know, he doesn't get open.
He catches footballs, Andrew.
He does catch footballs.
I don't know. He's certainly not a long-term answer at tight end. But no. He's better than I think he's better than what they've been throwing out there is my general thought. He's a more dangerous weapon, but if Bowers is sitting here.
Yeah,
I think that's the worst mess you could have, you know.
Yeah, from a Browns perspective, bad news.
Don't like it at all. Rams, some folks have tried to like slot in defensive tackle, and I think that makes a ton of sense. Some folks have tried to reach on a quarterback a little bit. I think they're just picking their flavor between Newton and Murphy because you're replacing Aaron Donald. And I would think that they would lean towards somebody. I think Byron Murphy's ability to anchor and, you know, he anchors at such a good level coming out. But I think Newton's ability to flash as a pass rusher and what they were sitting through for all those years with Donald tells me that that's the direction that they would lean. So I will go Newton out in LA to go with Kobe Turner. Right. So,
yeah. So another, another really like worst case scenario is one of the premier tackles falling to the Steelers. And I think Latham and Fashanu are both that and Mims for that matter. Like
Fashanu, so fallen. Fashanu was like the lot, like he was like the first tackle taken for so many people.
Yep. It feels to me like people are overthinking it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
It feels like a classic overthinking situation. I do also like Graham Barton for that matter. Man, there's so many good offensive linemen this year. It's crazy.
It's a very loaded tackle group. Some people really like Tyler Guyton. I mean, so what you're trying to do here is say J.C. Latham's probably the middle ground of like good athlete and actually has some tape involved, where Amarius Mims is like a freak of nature, but he was hurt often. Didn't play a ton in college. When he did, it was dominant, but it's like, you know, I mean, I think this is your pick, right? So you taking Fashanu on this one?
It is. Yeah. I think cause it's a left tackle situation here, right? Mm-hmm. Cause they feel like really good about the right tackle that they've got now. So they're looking for the guy to take over for Dan Moore. I think Fashanu is probably I think it's between Fashanu and Mims for them, but I think they tend to be a little bit more, they want to see the tape, you know, they want to see the production. So I think they'll take Fashanu.
All right.
Fashanu, I would take Fashanu, certainly.
Yeah. I feel like that's the one I'd be the most comfortable selecting. Miami tight end. You know, it's so hard to like slot where these guys are going to be. It's also like wide receivers, kind of a weird thing for them because the Tyreek Hill situation is, you know, it's a little strange. They definitely need O-line help. They were so beat up on the offensive line last year, but they need to replace Christian Wilkins. That they really need to make a splash selection between Newton and Murphy here, and I think that's the direction that's the smartest. Does that mean they won't chase the scoreboard, which is what they like to do? I don't know, but Murphy makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Apparently the Eagles need a wide receiver, linebacker, DB. They just signed a second wide receiver to a massive deal today. Yeah. And
I mean, they do need a third wide receiver, but
yeah,
I think it's defensive back here for sure. And I think
they could trade for Mike Gesicki. No. Okay.
The NFL's best wide receiver, Mike Gesicki.
He's got a great gritty.
I think this is probably Kool-Aid. I'm off the top of my head. Can you scroll? I just want to see the rest of the board here real quick. Yep. I think it's Kool-Aid. Give me Kool-Aid.
Yeah, they need some long-term defensive help.
Yep.
And you just want to have a Kool-Aid in your fan, like you're for your fans to pull.
Yeah, I think it's a great fit.
So Vikings are up. This is our first team to make their second selection in the draft. So they are quarterback still, but none that's out because we took Jaden Daniels. Tight end. Don't feel good about a first-round tight end now. Guard, center, defensive interior, and DB. So really the situation I think is that some people see Graham Barton as a move inside guy, even though he's a really good athlete. I think that they'll be drawn to his ability. I really think that they should make some sort of selection. I don't think Powers Johnson is going to go quite this high. Some people like Zach Frazier. It's an interesting spot that they're sitting in because they could really use corner help too, but it feels like the next corner up is Sanders still, and you're kind of reaching at that point for where they're at in this spot. So I'll take Graham Barton for Minnesota here.
Yeah, I think if I'm the Cowboys, I'm taking offensive line help of some flavor, and I think probably they like Latham just because of the fit with how much they want to run the ball, et cetera. We haven't really talked about the NFC at all since the offseason free agency opened. The Cowboys are going to be bad this year, Jake.
Here's their wide receiver group. CeeDee Lamb, aging Brandon Cooks, and Jalen Tolbert.
They lost so much this offseason and didn't replace it. And I know that they've drafted well recently, so they think they maybe can get away with that. But
here's their running back room. Rico Dowdell.
Yeah.
Deuce Vaughn, Malik Davis, Snoop
Dogg. And then there was a rumor that maybe they'd want Zeke back, but like, how does that change things?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think they're going to be a bad football team this year, but I think they would take, in this situation with this board, I keep saying what they would do. I would take J.C. Latham.
Okay. All right. I feel like they'd be drawn to the freak of nature.
The upside of yeah.
But
yeah.
I think Latham would be the right pick for them.
Yeah.
Green Bay definitely needs O-line help. Right. That is one that we saw to the, you know, a pretty good team. Skill position guys are in check, but you're talking about Rashid Walker at left tackle, Zach Tom, who I like Zach Tom. I think he's a good answer at right tackle, but you really need to find an answer at tackle here. So it'd be between like Tyler Guyton and
yeah, I think they'd Marius be so Mims thrilled and, if Mims was here. Don't
I
you?
Think, yeah, I think if Mims is here, that's a wise choice for them. All right. Tampa Bay with a sort of slew of needs here. I don't know why they're top. I don't think these are like organized because they also have
Rashad White. No, I think they're just organized by position.
Yeah, like, Rashad White had like a really nice run last year. So I don't know. I guess they could maybe use some depth there. Yeah, you're right. They are listed by like left to right, offense to defense.
Right. So I think it's probably defense here. But I've seen
some people mocking edge, like fringe edge guys to them.
Yep. Yep. Which I, you know, like PFF's board does not do you any favors here because who even is the next edge on the board here?
Yeah, let's look that up. Next edge on the board is Chris Braswell, Chop Robinson.
Yeah.
That group.
I think all of those are definitely defined as a reach, but this is the time of the draft where things start to get weird because you're technically from a team perspective. People say this every year. Everybody says it. Teams only have like 15 to 20 first round grades. So it becomes a little bit of beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I wonder if they wouldn't take Powers Johnson here just because of how much they've lost in the up in the interior. And given who Mayfield is as a quarterback, you know, he needs that middle of the pocket to be clean. Yeah. So, you know what? I'll take Powers Johnson.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a lowly podcaster like me, the world is starting to understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The NFL has been placing a larger emphasis in this area, especially that mental well-being. The Browns are leading the charge in this as well, trying to get their players to the right physical and mental peak every day. And that's what Unified Healing System is trying to do, and they're a proud sponsor of the OBR Film Breakdown. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. If you haven't heard of EE Systems yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in Cleveland or Columbus like me, or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/OBR. Again, that's unified with a YD, unifiedhealing.com/OBR, to learn more and find a center near you. A reminder, no material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system. Yeah, it's an interesting one because you look at wide receiver and it's like Mike Evans is getting older. Sneaky little like, should we keep giving Baker more wide receiver talent? Trey Palmer did take off a little bit, so maybe not quite the reach they would make there. Yeah, Powers Johnson makes sense. Build through the middle for them. Cardinals with their second pick now. They did take the wide receiver earlier up here, pick four. They took Malik Nabers. I feel like most Cardinals fans would be devastated if they don't get Marvin Harrison Jr. So even the case, they definitely need interior O-line help, could use tackle help. D tackle help, could use corner help. Let me look at their depth chart real quick, which is moving. It's so fluidly changed. I feel like they need another. I mean, God, I could take another wide receiver, Andrew. Here's their top three: Michael Wilson, Chris Moore, and Greg Dortch.
Yep, I like Dortch.
Yeah, kind of like
he's sort of the Arizona's Mike Gesicki.
Man, that's rough. And the interior of the O-line's not very good. This is going to be a bad team again. We know that, but I'm just like reiterating it, looking at.
Yeah. I wonder if they take a swing at defense here just because of the head coach and wanting to get him like a little bit of a player to kind of make a difference there.
Well, I tell you what, if I were the Cardinals and I could pair Brian Thomas with
it'd be fun.
Malik Nabers, Zach Frazier could make some sense for them. I mean, they're starting Yody Frohold at center. Respect,
good call. How is Bo Nix so high on PFF Sport?
It's very interesting development. I think I have to take an interior lineman. I'm just going to take Frazier for them.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it makes a lot of sense. So the Bills, it's an obvious wide receiver need, right? They're gonna probably force a wide receiver pick here. In this case, you're feeling good because Brian Thomas is still available. So if I'm the Bills here, I'm taking Thomas on 10 times out of 10.
Big time trade up candidates this year, the Bills.
Yep, for sure.
Lions. Interior help needed there. They could use another pass rusher.
Yeah, pass rusher.
They need corner too.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's sort of dicey with like what the value is of some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Lions, as far as pass rushers go, you're looking at Marcus Davenport on a 1-year flyer, and then we all know Aiden Hutchinson's pretty good on the other side.
Yeah,
they're one of those odd front teams. So they move people around. They did trade for Carlton Davis. So safety's in a pretty good spot for them. They have Brian Branch, who they like. They could be interested in like a TJ Tampa. If you're interested in Kamari Lassiter, that's another one kind of floating there. So they're pretty good up front. I don't know why they have Frank Ragnow and they signed Kevin Zeitler and Graham Glasgow. I don't really see them forcing a selection in that range. I mean, I guess, I don't know, Andrew. I mean, could you be like a Chop Robinson here?
Yeah, if I was there, I'd be tempted to just pick whichever edge.
Yeah,
I think the most and reach a little bit.
The biggest glaring spot. We'll take Chop Robinson into the first round. It's not crazy. Now we spent some time on Baltimore.
I got all of the AFC North picks.
Actually thinking about that when we started. I'm like, am I going to have the? Is it going to work out that one of us is going to get every single one of them?
Here I am.
Here you are. So, all right, they have needs at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Aguilar, Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers. I mean, massive. Yeah. Shrug your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Stanley, they're going to start. They're slated to start Andrew Voorhees, who kind of is a nice situation to rebound off of being injured in the combine last year. Daniel Falele, I think that's how you pronounce that. So you're looking at right tackle's a huge need. And like Tyler Guyton's kind of sitting right there.
I think. That makes sense. I think if one of the sort of top tier offensive linemen were to fall, they'd obviously snap them up. I could also see them going wide receiver. I think player like A.D. Mitchell would make a ton of sense for them a swing, you know?
Yeah, it's like another swing on a Rashad Bateman type.
Exactly. Right. But if I'm making the pick, I'm picking Guyton because that offensive line legitimately scares me.
Yeah, that's something that not enough people are talking about. But
I think everybody just trusts that they're going to figure it out between now and August. But I'm curious where those players are hiding that they think they can just kind of summon, you know?
Me too, man. Me too. Okay, so 49ers have a need at O-line at corner. I definitely know they have a corner need. Let's look at the 49ers real quick, their depth chart, and see how bad this offensive line looks, because Trent Williams obviously back. Colton Mikovits is at right tackle. Feliciano at right guard. I mean, I get it. It feels like they constantly overcome that stuff. So, you know, if there's a guy that, I mean, like Jordan Morgan, and you bump him inside, could make some sense for them. I mean, Kingsley's there. Your wide receiver situation, IU could figure that out.
I think it's probably one of the corners.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of if they like TJ Tampa or, I mean, let's look at the whole picture here.
Rakestraw to me.
Yeah, that one could make sense. Their corner situation is Ambry Thomas, Charvarius Ward, and then DeMondre Lenore and Nickel, kind of similar names to what they had last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But getting another name in there might make some sense. So, yeah, I mean, Rakestraw might be the guy that goes, is that you? Is this my pick or your pick?
It's your pick. I'm just butting in.
Man. I'll go Tampa for them. I think that he's got some buzz as a cover two guy, and that could be an answer for somebody they like long term. All right, Chiefs are up. Again, Rashee Rice has kind of forced their hand a little bit here, and if A.D. Mitchell's sitting here, it's like...
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun for them? Wouldn't we all be so happy for Patrick Mahomes?
Just be thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm presuming that's your pick?
Yeah, totally. Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Panthers are up, and they... also have some needs. Let's talk about what they've done here. So begrudgingly talk. You got Mingo, Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen back. The offensive line is needing some interior help, if you ask me. I mean, they did sign Robert Hunt. Corbett at center, maybe Taylor Morton is your right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely be interested in a tight end, maybe a little later for them. There's a lot here, man.
It's a bare cupboard.
It is really bare. So you could talk me into Ladd McConkey right here. Just getting another wide receiver that can make people miss in space. You can talk me into Sainer still. I actually think I'm going to slate our guy Jordan Morgan to them, though.
Nice.
I think they could use that type of player. He could still play right tackle for them and be enough. Yeah, I'm going to take a tackle there for them, but he's also could be moved inside because of the arm length stuff, but I don't think that's going to be a big deal. All right. This is interesting because if the Patriots wanted to swing on a quarterback after taking Marvin Harrison, they could. All right. What do you got?
Yeah. I mean, I personally wouldn't. I do think that could make some sense for the Patriots just in terms of giving everybody something to kind of talk about and maybe try and, you know, get lucky with Nix or Penix or whatever. But I don't think that's what they would do. Although, you know, as I said that, I was thinking about Elliot Wolf being the GM there now and thinking about how Dorsey fell in love with Baker Mayfield. And I wonder
what's the situation there, Andrew? Is de facto, it's listed as de facto.
I know. Isn't that great?
So he's not the GM. Like, what's going on?
They didn't give him the title.
That's so strange.
Yeah. So I think the real answer is that, Kraft's son is running things way more than people talk about.
Oh, okay.
Because he's very, very involved. And I read, the sort of, I'm trying to remember who wrote it, but there was a blow by blow of how things kind of fell apart between, it was one of those ESPN pieces. It must've been Seth Wickersham. It was like how Belichick and the Krafts kind of parted ways. And, and Jonathan Kraft is like pretty involved in football personnel. So I think the reason they don't have a true GM might be because the owner's son thinks he's the general manager.
Oof,
that's my pet theory. So, I the whole situation is murky and messy, and I do think it's going to continue to be a real mess because I think those guys have always thought that they knew better than Bill Belichick, and they think this is their opportunity to prove that, and I think we all know how that's going to go. So, in reality, I think that the Patriots are going to make some questionable decisions over the next 2 years or so. If I was sitting here, I would probably just continue to look at like sort of foundational pieces. I would have drafted Jordan Morgan here. Is there another? I just am struggling with the board right now. Is there another offensive lineman available?
Yeah, let's pull that up. Tackle Kingsley.
Yeah.
It kind of falls into that group. Yeah. At guard, you'd be the top of your guard group. Is the Christian Haynes type.
Oh yeah. Okay. So you're way out of range on those. So then let's pivot to edge, I think.
Okay.
And
so you're talking about Braswell.
Yeah, we'll give Mayo an Alabama guy. Because that's such a Patriots thing. So we'll give Braswell to the Patriots there.
Okay. Good stuff. The Cardinals are up. I think they're going to look at wide receiver because they took a offensive lineman center help earlier. Because I do think they double dip. I know we took Neighbors. I think that depth chart piece is so rough.
I think
that they could take McConkey here. If you're looking at like best available other positions, they've gone down the injury prone linebacker path too often. Could you look at like Kamari Last? They could use corner help, but I don't know how much teams value him. So I think I'm just going to take
Ladd
McConkey, and you come out of that draft with Neighbors and Ladd McConkey for
their complimentary too.
Yeah, man. That would be really good for Kyler.
Yeah.
Washington up now took obviously Drake May at the top of the first. So they got a DB need that Tyler Newbin is interesting sitting there.
Yeah, that's a player that I think makes a lot of sense. I really like Tyler Newbin. I haven't, with my picks, had the right need fit, but I think, Washington would be smart to take a player like that that could kind of, you know, for what Dan Quinn does, can kind of be that kind of guy back there for them. So, yeah, give me Newbin here.
Okay. Chargers are up again. Could see him double dipping. This is like a situation where they need a lot of help. You know where I'm going to go, though, and you're going to laugh at this, but I think he's going to take some of his Michigan guys. I really do. And I think that he could find good use for Sanders still.
I agree.
In his secondary. So I'm going to take the connection will keep growing because he brought his Michigan DC with him.
Yeah. That defense is full of guys that don't play as tough as they should.
Yeah.
So it changes. Part of changing that culture is bringing in some guys that play tougher than they should. And Sanders still is at the top of that list.
Right. Titans are up. We took in the first round Joe Alt. So I think they might be leaning heavy wide receiver here, Andrew.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a question of what kind of wide receiver they think fits for what they want to do. I think this could be a spot for Ricky Pearsall. I think that kind of fits what they need at the position, the sort of upside athleticism. So, I'll take Pearsall.
Okay, pick 38. The Panthers are up again. So at this spot, I feel like they're definitely going to be chasing a wide receiver of some kind. But I think that they have enough picks and a little bit of like belief in who they traded for that they might not. I actually think that we could see them make a move for Peyton Wilson here. They could use some linebacker help.
Local guy.
I think that's one I'll match them up with. All right. Washington up again as a part of the smartest sweat trade.
Yeah. So I think they probably force an offensive lineman here. I know that there's, you know, we've seen there aren't many, but I think it's probably Sua Mataia here just to kind of give the quarterback the protection.
Right on. All right. Green Bay's up now. We gave them Amarius Mims earlier. So if they're needing some like interior defensive line help, Braden Fisk is sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Ruho Horoho is sitting there. I'm cutting out one of the Ohos. I've just got to cut one. It's just laughable.
Can't
Chris
go three.
Jenkins. It's so many. You're right. It's like Scooby-Doo when you say it. All right. So safety is also in need of Newbin was here for them. I think they'd be very interested.
Agreed.
They have been working Jaden Hicks a little bit. Yep. I would not be surprised to see that be the selection.
Yeah, they've got another one at 58, so maybe they try and hold on.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So Green Bay here, let's see. I think we go with Rook here and see if they have a match at that spot. So two of those. Now the Texans, this is their first pick.
Yep.
So I don't really see wide receiver as a big need for them anymore. and I feel like they signed a lot interior wise, Andrew.
They did. They loaded up on short-term free agents here. I think this is a corner spot for them because they just need to continue to add pieces to the defensive backfield to give D'Amico Ryans some tools to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I like Rakestraw better than Laster. So I'll take Rakestraw here.
Okay. Ennis Rakestraw.
Yep. Great name.
Great name. Falcons in the first round, we took edge help. They probably could use some interior defensive lineup. I'm going to give them Braden Fisk. So they're going to load up on D-line. Man, I don't know. Do I give him Fisk or do I give him Lassiter? Let me check it here. me see what you know, we're real in depth over here. So at corner, they're looking at Clark Phillips is more of their nickel guy, but they're not really playing him in nickel. They're playing Hughes, AJ Terrell, yeah, David Onyemata, Grady Jarrett. I mean, they could go either direction here. For the sake of like premium position, I'll give them Lassiter. That's the direction. Another local connection there. All right, Raiders are up, and again, a team that needs any pick you want, Andrew. Any position, pick your flavor.
Yeah, it becomes a kind of, like you said, kind of a pick whatever you want. I do think even with the Wilkins signing, they could still go after like a Fisk here.
Yeah.
But
the names after Wilkins are rough.
Right, exactly. So pairing somebody with him makes a ton of sense. But I think this is where Michael Penix, in a sane world, where Michael Penix could go. I saw something again today where some people think he might just go to them at 13. But yeah, give me Penix.
It's great value for them. Yeah. And I'm going to do the same thing with the Saints here.
There you go.
And I'm going to give them Bo Nix.
Yep, we're flying.
Look at this. All right, yep. Another fun team. They took a corner. We gave them which corner did we give them? Kool-Aid? No, we gave them Wiggins.
Yeah, they
right. No, we Quinyon. Gave Quinyon Mitchell. It's good. Yeah. It's good value at 15. Yeah. So, you know, if you look at their roster, it wouldn't even hurt to double up there. But you could certainly look at wide receivers available.
Yeah, I think
Troy Franklin.
I think the way this falls, that's what they want to do. So. The question is what type. You know, they've got Alec Pierce. He hasn't really been much. They've got Michael Pittman, and they've got the slot receiver whose name is escaping
Josh me from Downs, North Carolina. Right?
Thank you. Yeah, yep. Downs. I think
they're a good fit for Keon Coleman, personally. Like,
do you?
Like an X.
Right, to take Alec Pierce's spot. Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. Yeah, give me Coleman.
I just feel like that's
as much as I hate match. To do it because I was hoping he'd fall to 54.
I knew we were kind of angling for, well, the Browns need him. Yeah. All right. Giants are up, and we took in the first, which quarterback did we give them? I can't even remember.
JJ.
We gave him JJ McCarthy, right? Yep. Yep. So they definitely will be looking at wide receiver.
Yeah. So this is your pick. I'm sorry.
This is probably like is it the Troy Franklin spot?
That's what I'm
thinking. What do we think? Like, let's just double check and do our math. They have Hyatt, who's a burner, but more of a lankier type. Wandale Robinson. Yeah, it's interesting. I actually think I would, if I were them, I'd be chasing maybe a Jalen Polk. I don't know. Maybe Franklin. It's tough to tell. They definitely need more at wide receiver. The tight end Darren Waller situation is really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Their running back situation is led by Devin Singletary.
Yep.
Okay, so
the NFC East is just going to be awful this year. I just want to say that. Like,
yeah,
the Cowboys have gotten worse. The Giants are still bad. I think Washington's going to have like a total reset year unless the quarterback just hits. So it's going to be the Eagles just beating up on the three other teams. Like, there are going to be so many bad primetime NFC East games this year.
Man, who are they taking? They're not taking an edge. They're not taking a safety. I mean, safety
just,
isn't.
Yeah, just give them one of these wideouts.
It's like a pesky need for them. They're starting Jalen Mills and Jason Pinnock at safety.
Good point.
Ugh. Their tight end thing with Waller. Sanders
and makes sense.
Yeah, like saying Waller might be done. You know, this might be retiring. Mm-hmm. I don't love the wide receiver fits that are like, I think if Keon Coleman were here for them, they'd be very into that. Xavier Leggett might be one that they're interested in for the body type. Mm-hmm. That they don't have, but I do think maybe Sanders here makes sense for them, but they don't even, man, it's like, how do they feel internally about, I think I'm spending way too much time thinking about this. It's
shocking how much time you're spending. My mind is continually boggled here.
I'm going to give them a safety Bullard out of Georgia. There
Sounds
we go.
Good.
All right. So the Jaguars are up.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
And in the first round, we gave them what, a lineman?
We gave them a prayer. We gave them Jared Verse.
Verse, okay.
To help their edge situation.
Okay.
Well, we said earlier they're a sneaky wide receiver team.
Then they are. That's true.
Is this your Troy Franklin fit?
Yeah, let's give them Troy Franklin.
All right. There it is. Done and done. I think the Bengals could still look at tackle, but the way the board sort of sets up, it's not exactly what they want, given that they lost out on some of those tackles, maybe Kingsley falling here. They could go like Brock Bowers and then Kingsley. That'd be like perfect first two picks for them. But I think Fisk, they need help in that D interior.
Yeah.
Fisk
especially
is a little
that type of player.
Yeah, a little older, but a penetrating type that they could use.
And they don't care about that age stuff at all.
Not that we've noticed. No. All right, Philly up with a, again, we took for them. What did we take earlier?
Kool-Aid. I think it was Kool-Aid in the first round.
Take Kool-Aid. Yeah. Right. Pick 22. Yeah. Kool-Aid McKinstry. All right.
Yeah. So I want Roman Wilson here.
Nice pick. That would be a great third option for them. Great third option. The Steelers now up. We took in the first round J.C. Latham for them. They could also, they are a wide receiver spot. I think I'm going to give them Polk. They need, I mean, you could give them Jermaine Burton there, but like, you got Pickens already.
Everything that you're hearing about Burton now is the personal stuff is just going to keep him. I mean, this is where PFF is just completely out of touch because they're just talking about on-field production.
Yeah. I think Polk is the fit for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great, that would be a good fit for what they have and what they need.
Right. Rams up. We took Byron Murphy in the first round. This could be a Spencer Rattler spot. Never know.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I mean, he can make some throws. He can make some in-breakers, and they love in-breakers there.
Agreed.
They also have tackle on the list. We drafted, like I said, interior. They could probably take two, but they got Kobe Turner as well. Linebacker's an interesting spot. So you're talking about like Junior Colson, Edrin Cooper available here for them. And then they have corner as well. And at the top of the corner market, we're going to have to go down the board. We did a run on corners there. You're looking at Kyrie Jackson. You're not really looking at a corner yet. That'd be somebody reaching. So, all right. I don't even know whose turn it is. I think I may have screwed up. No, you took
wrong. No, it's me. So I'm just sitting here watching you debate a pick I'm going to make.
Did you already know?
Yeah. Well, I think Darius Robinson makes a ton of sense just from a value perspective and what they need.
Okay.
Building
a lot of people think he's going to move inside too.
Yeah.
There's some thought about that.
I mean, Byron Murphy and Darius Robinson. That's fun.
That is fun. All right. Philly is up again. We just gave them Roman Wilson. I think if the top linebacker sitting on the board for me, they're going to take Edrin Cooper here, which sucks because you know how badly I like him at 54.
Yeah, I'm relieved because I was going to have to argue with you about it.
Yeah, whatever. Who do you want? 54. Make the pick. This is your selection.
No, to make. We can both talk about this one. Come on.
All right. So guys who would be under consideration, Adija Isaac would be under consideration.
Yeah, that was for sure.
Jonah Ellis would.
We know they like Sanders as much as I think we don't like that pick, Jatavion Sanders. I think they would be considered. Talking about the player.
Neyland available. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think if we look at the boards here, let's do some data gathering, Andrew. So let's see what the PFF folks have these guys ranked. So Neyland is behind Ellis for them as far as edge guys go. So there's three edge guys that you could take there. If we're looking at Dane's beast. Let me see if I can find real quick for us. Adija Isaac. So I can see where he has, cause he's not quite as high here. All right. How am I spelling that first name? Am I screwing that up? ADISA. All right. ADISA. So as far as the edge guys have ranked, he has Marshawn Neyland as a first, second round grade.
Mm-hmm.
He has Adija Isaac as a second, third round grade. And then he has Jonah Ellis as a third, fourth round grade.
Interesting. Okay.
So
I would be happy with Neyland here. I really would be. Like if that ended up happening, I wouldn't bat an eye just because I think adding young talent to that position, given where they're at with Za'Darius Smith, Alex Wright, I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if they see Alex Wright as a long-term starter or if they see him as just a rotational piece.
Mm-hmm. Chris Jenkins is also on the board. He is the third-ranked tackle for Dane in the Beast. You see here he is behind. Actually, he's the third-ranked defensive tackle they have. And then the Browns have been connected to Chris Jenkins quite a bit. Yeah. They just mocked him to the Browns. A couple different lead experts have done that recently. He's actually been from those who collect mock drafts across the internet. Have that as the most common Browns selection. So that's something to note here. And again, I think that a guy who doesn't necessarily produce from a sack perspective, 18 years, you're talking about a run stuffing, an actual, maybe what you were hoping you were getting from what his name is, Siaki Ika, right? I'm going to say Taki Taki in my head. Yeah. The thing that we're talking about, Andrew, is traits, guys. Like Nealand.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Nealand didn't produce a ton either, right? Right. Good grades, but only 28 pressures and 6 sacks. And the same on the other side for Chris Jenkins, right? So, like, then are you talking like Xavier Leggett? Is that somebody?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm the Browns, I'm picking the best available wide receiver here. I just think from their team construction standpoint, that's what they need to do. Because I don't trust Elijah Moore really to like be a difference maker for them. And given that Cooper is a free agent, I know they've just committed to Judy, but I'm taking a swing on this historically deep wide receiver class.
So here are the top wide receivers. We said Leggett is there. You're talking about Burton Leggett, Jalen McMillan. I mean, Xavier Worthy still there?
I know.
Tez Walker, Javon Baker. I mean, do you take a swing on Xavier Worthy at this point? I think he's gone.
I agree.
See a world he's here, but it's definitely possibly could be here. I just, the question is like, do you see somebody like I'm out on Burton. Like, I just don't.
No, I agree. I don't think they need another shithead.
No, I don't think it's worth it. So you're talking about
who's below Walker. I have a feeling there's one more guy. We're not remembering
Javon Baker, Johnny Wilson. Okay. Corley.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, I guess the question would be, let's cut it down. It's Leggett, Worthy, Jenkins, or Nealand. Yeah. So everybody, I'm going to give everybody in the chat watching this a chance to cast your vote, and that's the third vote.
Sanders. Some people in chat like Sanders.
Okay, too. That's true, right? So if you're watching, throw in who you think, and we'll make a choice. The thing with the thing with Xavier is he's a little older, 23, scares some people. I'm not that scared of that. The bottom line, they say he does not have an ample experience as a focal point of a passing tack, but 23 showed he's capable.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as polished a route runner release artist as he needs to achieve his NFL potential, but teams take a chance on players of his build. Again, every bit of 6'3", 227, looking like Josh Gordon out there. 71 catches, 1,255 yards. 7 touchdowns is his season. Let's see what Dane has to say about.
He's lower on him.
Yeah, I think he is lower on him. Dane's a technician type, and that's, you know.
Yeah, I think he's got him in the third.
All right, so I just want to read his bottom line. Yeah, he has him as his 14th ranked receiver. He has Xavier Worthy ranked as his 10th receiver, second, third round grade. So he says about, again, at the final, his final notes. Overall, Leggett, and I got to make sure, I feel like I'm saying that wrong. I know it's Leggett. Overall, Leggett is he needs to continue developing route running proficiency and his tempo, but his film gives off DK Metcalf vibes, and he has the explosive speed and physicality to be a matchup weapon. He should be an immediate contributor on specials before competing for starting reps outside. Xavier Worthy, he says. Let me see if I can pinpoint this. Overall, Worthy doesn't have ideal size because, again, he's smaller, pushing that threshold, 5'11", 165. Toughness or play strength. He doesn't have ideal size, toughness, or play strength, but his dynamic speed and playmaking instincts make him a threat as both a wide receiver and a return man. He doesn't have the body of work of DeSean Jackson, but he teases similar flashes. The throttle stuff. People see him as a guy very able to stop start, better than some of those some of those like 4-2-1 guys are usually just flatline runners.
Yeah.
He can stop.
Since you have Dane's pulled up, can you look at Leggett's height there? Cause I have this memory that he measured shorter at the combine.
Yep. Let's check it. He measured out 6'1" at the combine. 6'1", 221. That is important to know.
He's built, but he's not quite as tall as what South Carolina made him out to be.
Right.
He definitely plays big though. So
4.39 40, nothing to scoff at. Big, he plays big.
Yeah. I mean, the tackle is the other one here, Amagaji. I mean, I know that we already said we were going to make a pick, but I just thought I'd mention that again. Chat seems to be split pretty evenly between Worthy and Leggett.
Okay, so overall, Jenkins might never be – this is Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle that we're talking about. Again, highly selected player for the Browns. He might never be a high-production interior player, but he is light on his feet, heavy with his hands, and with a do-my-job mentality – the defensive coordinators appreciate. He projects as an NFL starter as a one-gapping tackle on the interior or two-gapping strong side defensive end. Tested pretty dang well for his size. Yeah, good explosiveness.
He did. And you know he's going to know how to practice and everything because his dad played. So he's going to have his head screwed on straight.
And I'm pretty sure he was a Feldman freak guy in terms of like his numbers.
Yeah.
29 bench press reps. So something to take note of. He had some left Achilles tightness at his pro day. So he didn't do any of the running stuff there. And then who was the other one we were talking about? Jatavion Sanders.
Yep.
Oh, let me see here. All right. And I'll give you, he's a second tight end for Dane. All right. Let me, I'm like word searching as I do this. And I'm like, okay, so let's just do the top one and then we'll go from there. All right, Brock Bowers, and we're going to go down. So he gives Jatavion Sanders, again, 21 years old, gives him a second, third round grade, his 57th overall prospect, kind of right around where we're at. Overall, Sanders needs to become more available, in quotes, in his route, so he's not a great separator, and improve his reliability as a blocker, but he's a smooth operator and dynamic talent before, during, and after the catch. He projects as an F tight end, similar to Gerald Everett with starting upside, so not necessarily an inline guy. 6'3 and some change, just over 6'3, and then 245. And again, just turned 21. So it sounds like you guys want us to pick between Worthy and Legit. And that's, you know, a tough choice because there are flaws to both types of player. I think I'm going to chase Worthy on this one. Where are you at?
I'm totally out on Worthy.
Okay. You're out on Worthy.
Yeah. Just as a player, period. Just don't see it.
Legit is your choice. So, we're completely split. The next five comments will be the pick.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm giving the next five comments and I'm going to count them out as we go.
I will just say while we're waiting for that, this really speaks to the importance of moving up or down for the Browns from this spot, because I feel like they are kind of caught in between a little bit. So, like, if they were here in this position, they're debating between this many players, they probably move down 15 spots.
Yeah, I could see anywhere in the next 10. It's looking like Legit will be the choice from what I'm seeing.
Yep.
All right, there it is. Xavier, Legit out of here. We're done. There's your choice at 54. This was fun. A lot of choices that are going to, you know, be present. We didn't even mention Junior Colson, but I have a hard time at 54 with Colson when he didn't test. Just tough.
I think they will too.
Yeah, so we should mention a two-round mock. I'm not sure which ESPN put that out.
It was Field Yates, I believe.
Or was it Field Yates? He had the Browns taking.
Kuiper maybe like teaming up, I think.
I think it was Troy Franklin and then Trey Benson.
That's right.
For the selections for the Browns. Yep. So.
Yep.
Listen, last year, man, we were not involved in the first round unless they traded away. Never know. But it's been a while. We missed that first round, but we got to 54. This is fun, Andrew. I appreciate it, man. I think that there's a lot to learn about these guys. And
you learn a lot about the draft by doing a mock, that's for sure. So I feel like I definitely have a better idea of the flow of the first round now than I did before doing this.
A question I have seen a couple of people ask is why you're out on Worthy. Don't like the size stuff concern you?
Yeah, no, I don't like how fast he is. I find that it's distracting.
I can't even see him out there.
No, yeah, it's the size stuff. I just, it's not, and I shouldn't, when I say I'm out, I just mean as like a difference-making wide receiver, right? Like he will have a role with that speed, but I just don't think he's shown enough, didn't show enough at Texas to be like a down-in, down-out wide receiver. And so now he becomes more of a gadget guy, which I think you can make an argument for, but not at 54.
You're talking about the size stuff. You're talking about the two best outcomes you would have for that player as far as being a leadership part of your room or even being a huge – is Devontae Smith.
Right.
That guy won the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
Was an unbelievable. I mean, he's small but very unique, and I don't think Worthy's the same guy. Or you're talking about DeSean Jackson, but again, DeSean Jackson was never like – you know, he was never quite, he was great. He was very electric, but that's the single best outcome. Legit, you're talking about more, you know, just.
And I get that there are questions about Legit, but he produced last year. Like it's one year. It's a small sample size, but he played at a very high level last year in the SEC. Worthy never dominated games, really kind of came into his own as a player. I mean, part of it is he's got Mitchell on his team. but he's not the focal point of an offense. To me, he's just always going to be a tertiary option. He's not going to. I agree with you. I think it's hard to imagine him becoming DeSean Jackson. And if that's hard to imagine, then like it just, I don't understand the value of the pick at 54. At that point, if it's worthy and that's the only wide receiver they'll entertain, I'd rather pivot to, like you said, Jenkins or Amagaji, an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, and just build from the trenches, because I just don't see the path for Worthy.
We saw a path for Edgerrin Cooper, but we'll leave that a conversation for another day. So listen, we appreciate it. A lot of you hung out, around 200 of you guys hung out to watch this exercise. I hope it was fun for you. Next week, we're going to try to go big, maybe have some of our OBR guys. And I'm going to try to put out some feelers now to see if we can get some other guys in the division around to make some selections and try to do two or three rounds with this, maybe up to pick 85. That would be a lot of fun. So we'll flirt with that idea, try our best, or at least maybe get those guys to give us a big board of who they would be interested at those slots, and we can pick for them. So 1 week away, man. It is Thursday of next week. The OBR will have full coverage of the draft. We will be live every single minute of the draft, rotating our staff in and out. So hang out with us on YouTube and Twitch. We'll have that ready to go for you and have some fun Browns conversations and make everything relatable. And if you like watching the draft with the slant of what are people who are fans of the Browns thinking about these picks, come join us. We would look forward to having you in, right? So again, thanks for hanging out with us, making us a part of your day. If you're listening to this in the podcast, whenever it finds you, thanks for taking time out to do that. Appreciate you guys very much. Like and subscribe to this YouTube and Twitch channel if you can. That really, really helps us get found by folks. And the same for the podcast. If you leave a review, always helps us. So thanks, guys. Appreciate you a ton. Be well. Go Browns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.